All right, let's look again, beginning in verse 24. We'll read it one more time. 77s are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. And after the 62 sevens shall the anointed one be cut off, and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 seven, and in the midst of the seven he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, and upon the wing of abominations shall come one that makes desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So there we have the vision of the 77th. And as I pointed out, you will see that there are some differences in the translations, and we will get that cleared up by the time this class is over with. Now, we began talking about the two basic views. We spend most of our time talking about the chronological view. And if you remember in this class, the chronological view has two camps in it. You have the amillennials and you have the premillennials. The amillennials will take the decree from Ezra chapter 7 verses 1 and following, and that's the year around 458 BC. The premillennials will take the decree of Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 and following, and that's around 445 BC. We've spent two Sundays looking at these two views, talking about the problems that these two views come up with. Now, it's important to understand that the decree to build the city, according to Jehovah through the prophet Isaiah, and that's Isaiah 44, verse 12, 11 and 12, and I think Isaiah 45, 13, was to be Cyrus. Cyrus was to be the one who was to build the city. The passage in Nehemiah deals with the rebuilding of the temple. But even as we go beyond that, you cannot get in all the elements of the vision, and you're going to see that's important as we go through this study. Now, the other view is the non-chronological view, which is the view that I take, and by the time this class is over with, you will too. Okay? There's no doubt about that. Now, the non-chronological view is just a symbolic view. That's all it is. Seven. You remember in apocalyptic speech, numbers mean more than numbers. Words mean more than words. Sometimes the number seven means exactly that, the number seven. But in figurative, apocalyptic, or prophetic speech, however you want to describe it or classify it as, the number seven means much more. The number seven means perfection, completeness. Where do we get this idea from? 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he what? He rested. He rested. Okay, he rested from his work. So that shows that he was through. So it gives the idea of completion. But also, as we look at the first two chapters of Genesis, as you look at the very last verse of chapter 1, he says, and he saw all that he completed was very good, right? In the Hebrew, that's emphatic. In other words, everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be. It was perfect. So here in the number seven, in apocalyptic speech, we have a foundation for the idea of perfection, for completeness. In Numbers 11, verses 16 through 30, 70 elders represent the whole nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 11, 70 elders, they represent the entire corruption of the nations. Now, of course, you know down in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 where Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive those who sin against me? Seven times. And the Lord said, yea, 70 times seven. And just think of all the sermons you've heard on 70 times seven. And you get the idea of completeness, of fullness, of perfection. Okay? So that's where you get the idea. Now, 77s. You notice I've read it 77s. Every time that I've read this passage of Scripture, it's been 77s. Some of your translations will have 70 weeks. Some of your translations will have 70 weeks of years. Some of your translations will have 490 years. But the idea here is 77s. Okay? Now, it is a tricky little passage of Scripture. There's no doubt about that. How are we to understand it, especially how many times we've read in different commentators and listened to different people talk about this passage of Scripture of these 77s? Well, to begin with, everybody and their brother knows that it is not a literal 70 weeks. So now you begin with the assumption of things. You assume that it's 70. The year for a day method is in there. But as we pointed out, only two passages of Scripture show where the day for the year is truly operative. Numbers 14 and verse 34 and Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6 are the only two passages of Scripture where it is clearly stated that there is a day for a year operative. Okay? So let's go on with this. I want you to notice verse 24, 77s are decreed. We're on point 7 on your study guide if I forgot to mention. 77s are decreed, verse 24. Verse 26, desolations are determined. And then verse 27, to the full end and that determined. So whatever the 77's vision of 77's deals with, they deal with desolations, and it is up to the full end, and that is determined. Whatever we do with the 77's, we must see it as embracing the desolation, and we must see it to the full end. The full end upon Daniel's people was 70 AD. Remember, 77s are decreed upon the holy city and upon your people, Daniel's people. So we have 77s, okay? Now, if what I'm telling you is true, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be true, no chronological view is able to take in all the elements of the vision. All right? So let's go with this. Point number 8 on your study guide, let's list the 9 elements of the vision. The 9 elements of the vision that deal with the 77s. Point A, to finish transgressions. Verse 24. And I'll talk slow. It's painful. It's impossible. But I will talk slow. Hopefully. To finish transgressions, that could mean a couple of things. To handle it, to put it away. It could mean to let it run its worst. In other words, to let the cup of iniquity fulfill. And that would bring in the idea of the crucifixion of the master, the stoning of Stephen, persecution of the church. So that's point A, to finish transgressions. Point B, to make an end of sin. To make an end of sin. And once again, this could have a couple of reasons. It could mean to let it run to let it fill up the cup of iniquity, to run its peak, to run its course. Or it could mean to deal with it once and for all in an atoning way. To deal with it, bless you, to deal with it once and for all in an atoning way. If I get going too fast, just let me know.
You're going too fast.
Get a faster pencil. Point C. Point C, to make reconciliation for iniquities. To make reconciliation for iniquities. And bear in mind, there is a difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. And then point D, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And it is also in verse 24. To bring in everlasting righteousness. There's a truckload of scriptures that we could go with this. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 would come in mind here. He who knew no sin became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. Of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. And then, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Through him we have redemption in his blood. And a truckload of other scriptures, of course. Point E. To seal up visions and prophecy, also seen in verse 24. To seal up visions and prophecies. Two possibilities here. The first possibility is simply render it so no one can understand. Render it as so no one can understand. Isaiah 29 and verse 11. The book is sealed up so they cannot understand. Or Matthew 13, verses 10 and following, the disciples come to Jesus and they says, why do you teach in parables? And he says, simply because they don't know. So we've got that one. And then the second point. At the coming of Jesus, there's no more revelation. At the coming of Jesus, there is no more revelation. And that would bring in passages of Scripture like Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God has spoken unto man in many ways, many manners, but at the end of these days has spoken to us through his Son. So that would be Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And also to go along with that, John 16 verses 13 and 14. The mission of the Holy Spirit was to bring into remembrance everything that Jesus had spoken to them. Point F, to anoint the most holy. Notice the word thee is in parentheses. There is no article thee in the Hebrew. It is to anoint most holy. There is no article thee. So the question has to come up, most holy what? Person, place, or thing? If it's the most Holy One, then we would have Jesus Christ in view. at his immersion. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and following, and Luke 4 verses 18 and following. If it's the most holy person, Christ Jesus is in view. If it's the most holy thing or place, then the church is probably in view, and that would bring in Acts 2. So most holy one would bring in the idea of Christ at his immersion. Isaiah 61, 1 and following, Luke 4, 18 and following. Or if it's a thing or a place, then the church is probably in view, and that would be Acts 2. The anointed one, point G, the anointed one, Messiah, is cut off. The anointed one, the Messiah, is cut off. That's verse 26. H, sacrifices and oblations cease, verse 27. And we'll get into explanation on these things as we get into the vision itself. Sacrifices and oblations cease. And then I, unto the full end upon the desolate. Upon the full end, upon the desolate, not the desolate one. These are the nine elements that must be fulfilled in the vision. Do I need to back up? Stop. Go. Some of you are still writing. Take your time. We'll just cut into Jeremy's. And then when he goes over, we'll know who to throw stones at. I gave Kurt a sack full of tomatoes about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Well, I gave him to Cameron. He gave them to Kurt. And Kurt says, "Why didn't you give them to me earlier?" And I said, "Well, it's better to give them to Cameron than to throw them at you doing your lesson." All right. Everybody caught up? Okay. Boom. That's it for that. All right. Your last page deals with the vision. Now, we've said a lot in these three Sundays about these four little verses. But we've said a lot to try and understand what these verses are saying because of all the difficulties that you're going to run across when people talk to you about these verses. And if you remember, the purpose for this lesson is evangelism. There's a lot of people out there who will believe the premillennial view. There's a lot of people who are not premillennials that will believe in the view of the other decree, the Ezra 7:1 decree. If you and I are going to be able to debate or challenge them on their thinking, we have to have a good biblical foundation. All nine of these elements must be fulfilled in this vision. There is no chronological view that will cover all nine elements. So that takes the day for the year out. So what we want to do, now we're on the vision. That's the last page on your study guide, the vision. In verse 25, it says, from the going forth of the commandment to build us, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, so that lets you know what the holy city is, right? To let you to restore unto the anointed one, the prince shall be 69 weeks. Seven sevens and 62 sevens, that is 69 sevens. You're going to have to make up your mind. Three choices. You either begin with the decree of 445 in Nehemiah chapter 2, or you have to go with the decree of Ezra chapter 7, 458 B.C., or you have to go with the one that Isaiah says from Jehovah God in Isaiah 44 and 45, which would be about the time that Daniel was in prayer. 70 weeks or 70 years of captivity are almost up. The Bible prophesied Cyrus will build my city. Isaiah 44 verses 26 and 28. Isaiah 45, verse 13. It was prophesied Cyrus would do that. Now, so number one, God prophesied Cyrus would do it. Number two, Cyrus gave a decree like this. And number three, Daniel received the vision at the time where it was time for the captives to go back to Judea. So this all falls in line with biblical prophecy. You have seven sevens to finish the temple, or to finish the city and the temple. And then you have 62 sevens that take you to Messiah. Verse 26, look at it. Verse 26. And what? What's the next word? And after the 62 sevens. 7 and 62 is 69. What comes after 69? Somebody say 70. 70. Okay, thank you. So after 69, Messiah is cut off. According to the text, Messiah is cut off when? After the 69th, it would be in the 70th. It would be in the 70th seven. Now, you remember one of the problems of the premillennial view is that they had the Messiah cut off at the end of the 69th week. God's prophetic clock stops. There's a gap of time there. And then there will be a rapture. And at the rapture, God's prophetic clock starts again. And then we are entering into the last seven, and then have the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, and then Jesus comes again and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we've defeated all these arguments. You should know them by now. Number one, the Messiah is cut off after 69, so he has to be cut off in the 70th. Number two, God's prophetic clock did not stop at the cutting off of Messiah. As a matter of fact, there is no gap of time there at all. But they put the church age there because they say the church was an afterthought, that it wasn't in God's mind, and he only sets up the church until the Lord comes again and everybody accepts him as their king. But how do we disprove that? Number one, we looked at Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and following, where Jesus clearly says that the scripture spoke of his suffering and that remission and repentance should be preached unto all nations. Where is remission of sins and repentance preached? In the church. And then again, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, before the foundations of the world, God had what? Before the foundations of the world, God had what?
He determined to preach the gospel through the church.
Okay, so there was a plan of salvation to save man, which only comes through the gospel. Okay? So we've defeated that those arguments. After the 69th seven, Messiah is cut off. Then notice 26. And after the 60 sue 7 shall the anointed one be cut off and shall have nothing, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who are the people and the prince that destroyed the city and the sanctuary?
Titus,
the Roman army. The Roman army. There are two princes in this passage of Scripture. There's an anointed prince, and then there's a prince of the people. Now, if you remember your history, around 66 A.D., there's a Jewish revolt. Vespasian is sent with the army to go and put it down. They quickly run through Palestine. They are approaching Jerusalem. And it is at this time, or during this time, civil war breaks out after the death of Nero. Civil war breaks out. And then Vespasian is called back to Rome. He is made emperor. The Roman army pulls back, and as far as history knows, this is the only time the Roman army has ever pulled back from a city before it sacked it. He pulled back. Vespasian is made emperor. His son Titus is made commander of the army, and then the army surrounds Jerusalem again and sacks the city. That's the time frame that we're looking at here. The premillennialists will have Rome during this time of 70 AD, but also a future Rome. And believe me, you got to have a crowbar to pry that out of this text. There's no way you can get this out of this text. But everybody and their brother, premillennialists, everybody accepts that this is also talking about 70 AD. In 70 AD, the Jerusalem and the temple are completely destroyed. And if you notice, it shall end with a flood. This phrase, with a flood, speaks of military movement. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 5 and following will help you understand that. According to the text, we have entered into the 70th Sabbath. According to the text, desolations are determined during the 70th Sabbath. So this lets you know from just the text itself that the vision has to get to 70 AD. And if that's true, no chronological view is valid. In verse 27, and he, the premillennialist, has the Antichrist. We have it as the Messiah. He shall make a firm covenant with many for a week, and he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. And upon the wings of abomination shall come one that makes desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Now, notice, and he shall make a covenant, a firm covenant. And then the one who makes, and he who makes desolate comes. So that should help you too in understanding this passage of Scripture. Now, the ASV has the phrase, shall make a firm covenant. The King James will have the phrase, shall confirm a covenant. And the NIV has the phrase, will confirm. If the ASV is correct, this would speak of the new covenant. And then passages like Matthew 26, 28, Jeremiah 31, 31, Hebrews 8, 6, and 9, 15, they come into view. If the King James and the NIV are correct, then we're already talking about an established covenant. And then the Abrahamic covenant comes in view. But either way that it is translated, The result is the same. There is a covenant that God has or is making with his people. Blessings will come under either the established covenant or the new covenant that is coming in. This tells you and me, as we discuss this with others, that the Antichrist theory is out the window until you can prove a chronological view. He will make firm a covenant with many for 1:7. The word for is not in the original. He shall make firm a covenant, or he will make firm a covenant, 1:7. So that tells you that it is duration is not the issue here. For 1:7, or for 1 week, however your translation puts it, would show a time of duration for this. The word for is not in the original. So therefore, duration is not an issue here. What we have said up to this point is that the issue here in this text is that the last seven is made a momentous seven. In it, all things occur that will shatter and end the Mosaic Commonwealth. The Messiah is cut off, and everything in this passage of Scripture is a result from this. The blessings that are issued in are the result of Messiah being cut off. The destruction of the temple and the city, they are the result of Messiah being cut off. The covenant made firm, will be made firm, shall be made firm, are all part of the Messiah being cut off. Since the 1 week or the 1:7 is not, has no temporal significance, duration is not the issue. In the midst of the week, sacrifices and oblations cease. Let's look at that. Verse 27. Two possibilities there. At the death of Christ on the cross, the Mosaic Constitution with its laws and its sacrifices ended, as far as God was concerned. Now, if you want to give 50 days of grace until Pentecost, okay, I'm not going to debate you on that. But as far as God was concerned, at the end, at the sacrifice of Christ, Mosaic Constitution with its laws and its sacrificial system ended. A second point that we can see here is that when the temple was destroyed, there has been no biblical Judaism. Now, they try to work around it and say this and say that, but when the temple was destroyed under the law of Moses, when the temple was destroyed, there has been no biblical Judaism. It was literally brought to the end in 70 AD. Also notice, if you will, the phrase upon a wing of abomination. Upon the wings of abomination. Wing. Scholars are split upon this, and I don't have a for sure answer on this. Some say it's the wing of a bird. The wing of a bird. If it's a wing of the bird, that's what is meant, then picture a vulture. It speaks of abominations which result in the destruction of the city. Not only were the sins multiplying until the time of 70 AD, but the travesty that went on during the siege is unbelievable. If you get yourself time, do yourself a favor, read the destruction of Jerusalem and see what all went on. It's unreal. People snatching food out of children's and old people's mouths, cannibalism, eating dung, straw, wood, I think, three factions that were fighting amongst themselves while the Romans were outside trying to besiege the city. It's hard to believe what was going on. So if it's the wing of a bird, picture a vulture, and that would speak of the abominations that resulted in the destruction of the city. If it's the high point of the building, then you have the thought of the Jewish sins filling the cup of iniquity. But either two ways, the results are the same. Jerusalem is destroyed. When the abominations reach the peak, at the high point of ungodliness, then comes one who makes desolation. The point here is just simply someone is coming. Application would be Titus. He is the one who destroyed the city because the people had filled up the cup of iniquity. Matthew 23, verses 30 and 32, Jesus will tell the people of his time, fill up the cup of your fathers. That's Matthew 23, 30 and 32. That's what brings Titus. Titus, the destruction of Jerusalem was not just merely a military conquest. It was something that had been determined. It was the day of Jehovah upon an ungodly nation. It was determined beforehand, and it was fulfilled. Now you remember, once the day of Jehovah is pronounced upon an ungodly people, it cannot be reversed. Prayer and repentance, as we saw in the book of Jonah on the city of Nineveh, prayer and repentance can delay it, but once it's been pronounced, it cannot be turned back. And when that cup of iniquity comes, it destroys the city. The city falls not because of a military conquest, but because of a judgment of God upon the people. Even unto the full end, wrath is poured out upon the desolate. Not the desolate one, not the one who makes desolation. Context of this passage of Scripture will tell you that it is upon the holy city and upon Daniel's people. The one that brings desolation is just the tool that God is using to bring the desolation upon the people. So the people in view here are Jewish. Okay? All right, summary. I've got 4 minutes, and I'll try and do it in 30 seconds, give you a break. Summary. 77s are not to be understood chronologically. The vision of 77 speak of the last and final decree upon the Israelite nation. There is no chronological view or picture that takes in all the elements of the vision. So chronological view is out the window. 77s are divided into three sections. You have 1-7 to build the city. You have 62 sevens that really pass over in silence. And it's not to say that there wasn't a lot of things happening then, but the point is to get from the building of the city to Messiah. That's the point of the vision. And then you have a final seven, which is reserved for blessings and judgment, which is brought upon the people at the cutting off of Messiah. The vision leads up from the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and following. It leads up from the prayer. The decree was given at the beginning of his prayer, which was around 536 BC, and the vision is completed, fulfilled 70 AD. And that's the summary of the vision. Questions? Everybody understands? All right, you've got the notes, and what if I understand correctly, they have it on tape, and you go back over to the website and understand, and go back over some of this stuff. It is difficult, but then again, it's not when you really look at what the text is telling us, okay? Next week, hopefully we'll be finished in 2 weeks, three at the most. Go ahead and read chapters 10, 11, and 12. All that deals with, the vision of 10 deals with the matters of 11 and 12. And that's it. God bless you.